Let's pray again before we hear the word. Gracious God, Father, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now expectantly, humbly, and also hungrily. Lord, you have the words of life. And we're amazed that you use dust, broken pottery to house your power. Lord, I have nothing to give to this people that you have not given to me. I pray, Lord, that they may hear your word truly, preached and spoken faithfully, that anything that I say that is not in alignment with the truth, that you would remove it and that we would forget it. We ask that you would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that you would save, that you would correct and rebuke, that you would courage and build up, because your word is living and active. Your word is powerful. Your word is truth. And so we pray expectantly, trusting in you, believing in your promises, and looking forward to what you have for us. We ask this, King Jesus, for your glory and for the good of your people. Amen. As I said earlier, it's always a joy to be with you, to bring the word of God here at Cornerstone United Reformed Church. And when I was asked to preach on today, I didn't realize that it would be Mother's Day. And so as I was thinking about what to preach on, I said, why don't I preach on moms? Not because we have to. We're Reformed. It's not a holiday. But I think it's a good opportunity as Christians to look at Mother's Day, to look at celebrating our moms from a distinctly Christian perspective. Right, we want to know, how does the Bible deal with mothers? What reasons do we have to be thankful for our moms? And so as I was thinking about what to preach on, there was one passage that stood out to me, a very famous, well-known passage that we find in Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman. And so as we come to the Word this evening, we're going to read the whole chapter, 31 verses. The first part, verses 1 through 9, is the words of a believing mom to her son who happens to be king. But then our focus will be on verses 10 through 31, where the inspired author spends time describing the excellent wife. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's word, as we find it in Proverbs 31. We read the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to those who are perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. And then now our text. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her and will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Thus ends the reading of God's perfect, precious, and powerful word. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, we've read an extraordinary passage. A passage full of so many things, of so many descriptions. So the question we must ask ourselves is, what are we supposed to glean from such a rich passage of Scripture? What are we to understand from this beautiful passage? What are we meant to retain from it? Well, we have a couple of clues that are given to us right at the beginning. You want to make sure you understand and not miss what this message is about. Look at that first question that's posed in verse 10 at the beginning of the passage. An excellent wife who can find. And then if you really want to make sense of it, you have to read what comes right after it, because he asks the question, he poses the question, and then he answers it for us. What's the answer that he gives? She is far more precious than jewels. So what's the meaning of the question? An excellent wife who can find? What is he asking? Is he asking, where do I get this kind of woman who's excellent, who's far more precious than jewels? I don't think so. I think he's pointing us, asking the right question, but we need to understand it in a different way. I think what he's saying is, what does a valuable, a precious woman look like? An excellent wife who can find means, I'm doing a modern translation, the question that he's asking is this: according to God, what does a high-value woman look like? The kind of woman that God admires, that God values, what does she look like? And the way that he answers the question is really interesting. He answers the question in two ways. You can know what a high-value woman looks like first by looking at what she does, her actions. And then also, you can know what a high-value woman looks like based on who she is, her character. So just two points. What does a high-value woman look like according to God? In God's sight, we know, we can tell based on what she does and who she is, based on her actions and her character. I took off the third point because it's too long. Okay? So let's get right into it. We can know what a high-value woman is, looks like, based on what she does. But before we get into that, we got to figure something out else out first. We got to say something, okay? This is what happens when we come to passages like this. Proverbs 31 is about a woman. So guess what happens? The rest of us, we tune out, right? This is for moms. This is for wives, and it's true, it is for moms and for wives, because verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. So yes, it is about wives and mothers. But some of you know a little bit of Hebrew, and you know that the word that's translated as wife, isha, in Hebrew also means woman, female. So guess what? If you're not married, if you're not a mom, but you're a woman, this is for you too. Listen up. Don't tune out. It's for you. But it's not just for women. You and I know that every single passage in the scripture has an application to every single kind of believer, men included, men who are single, men who are married. It's all for us. So please don't tune out. Yes, this is primarily for the women here, but it's also for all of us. So let's listen closely to what an excellent wife, to what a high-value woman looks like in God's eyes. And what we find is that we can know what she looks like based on her actions, based on what she does, because you and I know that actions speak loudly. Actions speak louder than words. So what kind of woman is she? Well, right off the bat, you read through the list of everything that she does, and do you know what I noticed? That she works hard both outside the home and inside the home. Did you notice that? Look at verses 14, 15, 16, and 24. We read that she is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Who is this woman? Just based on this description, she's an entrepreneur. She's industrious. She's a businesswoman. She has great business acumen, right? She finds a field, she looks at the price, she knows how much is in the bank, and she buys it. So I admit it. I'm reading this and I'm saying this doesn't quite square up with the gender roles that I grew up with in a traditional family, right? Because according to the way I grew up, and I guess the way that many of you grew up, where is the woman's place? It's in the home, isn't it? But what is the Bible telling us? Is the Bible challenging us on what we believe gender roles are meant to be? I think the answer is yes. Can I give you an example of why I believe that some gender roles are completely written in the Bible and other gender roles are just completely cultural? Can I give you an example? Okay, since you won't talk to me, we'll just vote with our hands, okay? In the home, who does most of the cooking? The husband or the wife? If it's the husband, this hand. If it's the wife, this hand. Who does most of the cooking in the home, the husband or the wife? The wife. So explain this mystery to me. Why is it that when it comes to grilling, who does the grilling? It doesn't make sense. Because women do all the cooking. So is it a biblical distinction, gender role, or is it just a cultural one? It's a cultural one, right? And Pastor Jared, you mentioned Carl Truman the other Sunday. And I love Carl Truman because Carl Truman really poses those deep questions about our assumptions. And I remember Carl Truman talking about gender roles and saying, you know, I think the Bible does give us very clear principles that actually allow us to live out our gender roles according to the gifts that God has given us, right? So can I give you another example? I was in Congo teaching some of our students, and we were speaking about the roles of a husband and a wife in the home. And I just suggested to them, hey, brothers, if you want, you can wash dishes too. And do you know what they told me? Never. Because that's a woman's job. But where in the Bible does it say that it's a woman's job to wash the dishes? Nowhere. It's cultural. Okay? But what's the principle that we find that's transcultural, that's for every culture in all time? This woman uses the gifts that God has given her, but she does everything that she does with the complete trust and under the complete authority of her husband. Do you know how I know that? Look at verse 11. What does verse 11 tell us about the relationship that she has with her husband? It's a relationship of trust. The heart of her husband trusts in her. How is it that she's able to come and go, to sell, to look for deals, to make clothes and sell them on the marketplace? It's because her husband trusts her completely. That's what it means. His whole heart trusts in her. His whole being finds her trustworthy. He doesn't worry. He's not concerned that she's going to skim a little money off the top for herself. He knows that she's a virtuous woman, that whatever she does, she's going to do for the good of the family. Do you know which relationship this makes me think about? You remember Joseph in Egypt at Potiphar's house? Do you remember what Potiphar did when he realized that God was with Joseph, that the hand of God was with Joseph? He left everything under Joseph's care. The only two things he dealt with himself were his wife and his food and clothing. Otherwise, everything else he entrusted to Joseph. That's the kind of relationship that we see between this husband and this wife. He is not her master. She is not his servant. But there is that relationship of trust. She's able to go out and to sell and to do whatever she's been given power to under the authority of her husband. So she's a woman who works hard outside the home, but also inside the home. Look at verses 15, 18, 21, and 27. 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. 18, her lamp does not go out at night. 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's out there working hard, but she's not doing that to the neglect of her own family. Right? She values her home life and her role in the home as much as what she does outside. In fact, she will not sleep until she makes sure that there's enough food on the table, that there's clothing for the kids. She doesn't view being at home as an afterthought, as if, you know, it's kind of a bother. No, no. The valuable woman, the kind of woman that God values, the excellent wife, the high-value woman, actually treasures and values who she is at home. She doesn't leave her role at home to just anybody. She's the one who's taking care of the children, of her husband. And may I say something? This is not just something that should be a priority for wives and mothers. My brothers, the home is also meant to be our primary responsibility and focus. Do you remember in Timothy when he gives out the requirements for an elder? He has to be a man who manages his home well. If you're not at home, you can't manage your home well. Yes, because of the way our society works, we spend a lot of time outside. But we ought not to leave raising children to our wives. It takes two to make them. It takes two to grow them. Right? So it's not just the wife. It's also the husband. Because God has given to his people one mission, to make disciples of Jesus. And where does that begin? At home. Okay? So who is this woman? She works hard outside the home, inside the home. And do you remember what we said at the beginning? What she does reveals to us who she is, what kind of person she is. So what does her hard work outside and inside the home reveal to us about who she is, what kind of character she has, what kind of qualities she possesses? Well, a lot of qualities. We see that she's very generous. She's very compassionate. She sees the poor. She sees the needy. She opens her hand to them. She gives. But we also notice two other qualities. The first one being her strength. Did you notice verses 17 and 20 and 25? She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Strength, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. So as I was studying for this, I read a commentator who explained that the word used here to describe strength is normally used in the Psalms to describe warriors. So this woman is strong, like a man of war. And maybe some of you are looking at me like, women are strong. I thought men were stronger than women. We are, but not in everything. Right? Some of you know how much it takes as a man to run the house. You know that it takes a very strong woman physically, but also a very strong woman mentally to make things run. I know from experience, because I've been in situations where I see what my wife does and I know I cannot do that. I remember it was, I think, the last year that we spent in Canada. My wife was working for the Canadian Red Cross. We lived in Montreal, Quebec. The training was in Brockville, Ontario, maybe an hour or two away. And my wife, we had three children at the time. She gave me a list of everything that needed to be done to make sure that for those 3 to 4 days that everything ran smoothly. And I looked at the list and I said, I cannot do this. So I called in reinforcements. I texted my parents on WhatsApp. I said, hey, Mom and Dad, do you mind just driving up 12 hours to spend 3 or 4 days with me? Because I can't handle 3 kids by myself. Why? Because it takes strength, fortitude, courage to raise these kids, to feed these kids. So my brothers, I'm not saying this because I don't make mistakes. Please never criticize your wife and ask her what she did all day. Because if you disappear, we know why. Women are strong. A high-value woman is strong. Physically, mentally. But also, we learn from our text that this woman is very selfless. She's very other-focused, other-oriented. Did you notice it? Look at verses 12, 15, 20, and 25. She does him good, her husband, and not harm all the days of her life. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens, for her servants, for her employees. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You understand? Why does she do just about everything that she does based on these descriptions? Why does she sell? Why does she make clothes? Is it for herself? Yes, she takes care of herself. She doesn't neglect herself, but she does almost everything that she does for others, for her husband, for her children, for the neighborhood community, kids who just don't have enough. She's not about herself. She's not doing it so that she can post pictures on Insta scroll and on face tablet so people can see her. Because they didn't have internet, so scrolls and tablets. It's contextual. Right? She doesn't do it so that people can look at her, so that people can praise her. She does it because she genuinely is concerned about others. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the way that God wants us to live. The New Testament tells us, Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So what's he saying? When we become Christians, guess what happens? We're free, free from sin, free from the wrath of God, free from certain obligations. But there are obligations that remain. We ought not to use our freedom and forgiveness to live for ourselves. We ought to be using our freedom and forgiveness to serve, live for God, and live to serve others. That's one of the characteristics that we find about this excellent woman, about this high-valued woman. So now I'm curious. You've heard what she's like. You've heard what she does. And now I'm curious. How does it make you feel? When you read the description of this woman, the Proverbs 21 woman from verses 10 to 31, what's your reaction to this woman? I imagine that there are some of our sisters here who read this and say, yeah, I want to be more like her. And I imagine that there are even husbands who read this and say, you know, this is pretty much my wife. And I got to imagine that there are husbands here who are thinking to themselves, my wife should be more like this. Remember, don't say it out loud. Keep it to yourself. But I also imagine that there are some women here who are listening to this description and you just feel crushed. Right? Because you're at a stage in your life where all you can handle right now is getting out of bed, putting clothes on yourself, feeding and clothing your children, and that's it. You could not dream of running a business. You could not dream of managing multiple things in your life. It's just too much. And so you read this and you hear it and you say, it seems a little far-fetched. It seems a bit unrealistic. You would even dare say it seems idealistic. Now I have a secret for you. Let me tell you the truth. This is idealistic. Because the woman described here is not one woman. She doesn't exist. There is no woman who does all of these things. What's he doing? It's a collage of the best qualities of some of the best women that this man knew. And he's just putting together a portrait as a model to follow. So truthfully, there is no woman on earth who exists, who has existed, who does everything that this woman does in this text. The goal of it isn't to say, be exactly like her. The goal of this text isn't to say, you can do it just like she does it. Right? What's the goal? The goal is actually to point us to a characteristic that I haven't pointed out yet. Yes, God values women who work diligently outside the home and inside the home. Yes, God values women who are strong, both physically and mentally. Yes, God really appreciates women who are selfless. But what is the greatest quality that a high-value woman possesses? What, in fact, is the foundation for everything that she does? Did you catch it? Look down at verse 30. What is the greatest characteristic, the greatest value? It's there in verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You, sister, may not have three side hustles that you're doing. You may not be able to do anything more than get out of bed, put clothes on yourself, put clothes on the kids, and feed them. That's okay. What matters the most to God? Do you fear Him? What does it mean to fear the Lord? It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, though we ought to be afraid of God because God is a consuming fire. You should be afraid. But that's not what it means to fear the Lord. It's an old word that has to do with reverence, with awe, with honoring God. A woman who fears the Lord is a woman who lives to honor and to please God more than anyone or anything, more than her husband, more than her children, more than her friends, more than what other people think. And so I'm wondering, I don't know you all that well. Would you say that you are a woman who fears the Lord? I don't mean perfectly, because nobody does it. But that in everything that you're trying to do, you're trying to raise these kids, you're trying to live in such a way that when people see your life, they ask questions about who you serve. Are you living in such a way that you're trying to honor God, you're trying to bring glory, to bring a good reputation to God. Because this is the reality. I've already said it. No one can do what she does. No woman, no man. It's impossible. So where is our hope? Where is the good news? Because we're gospel people, aren't we? This is the good news. The good news is that we don't measure up. We cannot do it all. The good news, though, is that there is a man, the blessed man, the happy man, who did it all. He worked hard. Yes, with his hands, the son of a carpenter, but who came down to earth to do the will and the work of his Father, who provided exactly what his people, poor, needy, destitute that we are, need. By giving of himself, by giving of his life, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What happens when we believe in Jesus? We are forgiven of our sins. We are saved from the wrath of God in hell forever. But we're also given a new identity, and he gives us value. Listen, we already have value because all of us as human beings, regardless of where we are, how we look, are created in the image of God. Can't take that away, not even sin, not even the fall. But we are of even greater value, more precious than jewels, as those whom God has called and saved for himself. So my sisters, don't let the world dictate to you what makes you valuable. You already are valuable. You are already prized by God. There's nothing that you can do or nothing that you should do to try to make yourself worthy of him. He already loves you. And it's not just you women, it's also you, my brothers. Your value ultimately does not lie in all that you do. It matters. What you do does matter. The work that you do does matter, but not ultimately. What matters the most is that you are loved by God, chosen by him, received, accepted by him by grace through faith in Jesus. And if you know that this is true for you, then you can give yourself completely to serve him wherever he's placed you, at home, at work, in the community. Give yourself. I can speak personally, and I know my wife won't like it, but it's okay, it's true, and we have to speak the truth. I can speak personally on the truth of a high-valued woman. Because when I hear my wife speaking to our children and correcting them and rebuking them, it's not just shape up. It's not just you need to do this right. It's, but what does the Lord Jesus think? Is what you're doing, is what you're saying pleasing to God? Right? And it's not just my wife. I was raised, yes, by my mother, but you know, I grew up in a church where we had children's worship, and I had all of these different women and sometimes men helping me walk and grow in the faith into the man that I am today. So can I say something? Being a mother is more than biological. Do you know that? Being a father is more than biological. It's also a relationship. Where I come from, okay, this is just culture, it's not necessarily the Bible, but where I come from, you can call father anyone who is older than you. Because the understanding is he has insight that he can share with me to help me walk well and right. So I know it's a little weird, but oftentimes pastors are called father because of what a father stands for. Someone who is meant to lead and to guide and to shape you in the way of faith. You're a mother to your own children, but this is a church. The church is a family. Guess what? You're also a mother to others. You have a special relationship with these kids, right? One of you was teaching them these songs. Another was playing the piano. Some of you are doing catechism. This is what God uses to create high-value people. So, on this Mother's Day, this is the encouragement I want to give you. Know that your value is grounded in Christ, in your relationship with Him. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are loved by God, you're accepted by God, you're going to be kept for God forever. There is nothing that can change that. Now, my sisters, my mothers, because you're accepted by God, loved by God, now live according to the gifts that He's given you. Be strong. Be selfless. Work according to the calling that He's given you for His glory and for the good of the people that He's placed you around. Amen. Gracious God, we thank You so much for Your word, and we thank You so much for our moms and for all these women in our lives that You've placed there as models for us. I pray that You would encourage our sisters this evening, but also the rest of us, to live for You, to walk with You, to recognize that we already have value in You. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to resist this world that tells us that our ultimate value is grounded in what we look like, in how much money we have, in everything that we do. Lord, we know that what we do does matter, but we don't want to be defined by what You've not defined us by. I thank You, Lord, for using our moms to shape us, to guide us, to lead us toward You. I pray that You would bless them abundantly and that they would see the fruit of their labor for You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.